So let's dive in. Yesterday, we saw the beginning of Essay 6, and we saw how the Jewish people have a talent of bringing God into the world. And in order to actualize this talent, we need two things. We need aspirations, and we need the executive talent to actualize our aspirations in the nitty-gritty of the real world. And he explained that that's actually the power of the Mashiach, and that the Mashiach is the one who actualizes our great aspirations. And the more we learn Torah, the more we identify with our essential aspirations, and the more we are involved with Zionism, the more we're able to actualize our ideology in the nitty-gritty of real life. So let's read the end of this essay that continues this idea. Yachad im shi'ifateinu le'megama elyona. Together with our aspirations as a nation to the lofty direction. Now, what is the lofty vector, the lofty path, the lofty way, the lofty methodology? It's the methodology of the Torah that involves the creation of an entire mechanism, which is the Jewish people, that's predicated on bringing God into the international dialogue of all of the nations in this world. Yachad im shi'ifateinu le'megama elyona ulachzik le'umata et ha'yesod ha'ma'asi. We are created not only to aspire to greatness, but also to be pragmatically involved in the execution of these ideas and to implement them in a real world. Imi kashel kochenu, if we're weak, and here Rabbi Cook is referring to what happened to secular Zionism, and he perceived secular Zionism as a symptom of the exile and the weakness of the Jewish people, and as the Jewish people were weakened over the exile, so we were not able to fulfill our entire vision. Yachad im shi'ifateinu le'megama elyona ulachzik le'umata et ha'yesod ha'ma'asi, imi kashel kochenu b'ma'asa. If we're just not able to bring into fruition our aspirations, hamechakel miloi koach bigalut bo, v'al yado ha'or ha'ideali ha'gadol, this activity, this action is waiting for us. The world is waiting for us to represent God in a real format with boots on the ground and to have a real nation that has all of the political machinations of a nation. We have an economy and we have an agriculture and a culture and a political system and a judicial system that's all predicated on the Torah. And as a result, HaKadosh Baruch Hu will actually have divine providence that will reside within the Jewish people as a result of the entire mechanism being in place, including the construction of the Beit HaMikdash. But if we're weak and we can't actualize our vision, yiyeh b'meshach hazmanim kaved yoter midai mivnei kishlonah shel ha'umah. Sometimes it'll just seem so difficult to actualize our vision because of sin. Natur lano etzot nechonot al pi ruchah shel nishmat ha'umah atzma al pi darkah shel Torah b'milu'ah la'hakel tam ha'masa b'signon kazeh shelo yechdal ha'tzior ruchni mipulot shifato gam rega biglal ha'akala mukhrachah. Now here Rabbi Cook has an interesting idea, and he's saying, let's say we're tired and it's just too much. And here Rabbi Cook is seeing the Jewish people who are simply ransacked after World War I, and just barely able to hold themselves together. And all of a sudden you say, great, let's create a state. And they're thinking of how to get hay for their cow. And all of a sudden you're saying, yeah, why don't we just use our executive talents to create a political system, an economic system, a cultural system, an agricultural system, and we'll just put all of the systems that are found in the Shas and we'll just implement them right here and now in Israel. The Jewish people are just not there. They're not with you. And Rabbi Cook is saying, well, the remedy is not secular Zionism. And it's not that we're going to say, well, we have a simple thing, and that all you have to do is you come to Israel and you toil the land and you just be a secular Zionist and you don't have all of this baggage of the heavy weight of Torah. And here, Rabbi Cook is saying that if that's the problem and people want freedom from the mitzvot, so he's saying that we have to find a way to make the load easier for these people within the realm of Torah itself, and not using an external methodology to make it easier. Now, I would love to know what mechanism Rav Kook is thinking about here and how you're going to make doing all of these mitzvot easier within the realm of the Torah. And that I know that since I began teaching 50 years ago, my students are troubled by the fact that they have to wait 6 hours between meat and milk. And I wish I knew some way of making their life easier and maybe counting sheep or doing something that they just won't notice that all the time goes by until they want to eat something or wean them off of ice cream. I have no idea, but Rabbi Cook seems to be thinking of some kind of solution for secular Jews that they'll be able to remain Orthodox, but without the yoke of Orthodoxy that'll oppress them. But I would love to know what his plan was, but we don't really see it. But he's saying what it's not, and he's saying you can't ease the yoke by just ditching Orthodoxy. And you have to find a plan from within. When you begin to pollute the concept of Zionism, when you leave the Torah and you stop contemplating life in its big fashion and you start thinking about the regular, simple vicissitudes of life, and you no longer are able to fathom the wonderful, deep, lofty thoughts. There, by the way, I mentioned when I started this paragraph, the essay yesterday, that one of the big four words that Rabbi Cook uses in the scientific study, they put the 3 million words of the Rav Kook inside of a search engine, and they found the four most frequent words. One of them is chayin, and the other is elyon, elyonut, being loftiness, the loftiness of thought. Here we have another one of the famous words of Rav Kook, loftiness. And let's go on. Shehen mecholalot et ha'maasim ha'gdolim, v'shehen genuzot betocham b'gniza Elohit atzuma, memeila olchim ha'maasim v'nifgamim. Rabbi Cook is saying that if you're going to leave the lofty thoughts of the Torah and you want to predicate Zionism on secular ideas alone, and you're going to say, well, we just can't handle the baggage of the entire Torah, and it's just too heavy of a vision for us to carry at this point of our lives, and that the only thing we really want to do is be free of these shackles and make something very clear. So Rabbi Cook is explaining that if you free yourself of the shackles of the great Jewish aspirations, you're actually working against yourself. You're actually cutting off the branch that you're sitting on, because These lofty aspirations are the source of your ability and capability of really persevering and going forward. And without it, you just can't. And Heroic Cook is explaining that if you're going to pollute the main idea, which is the source of your vitality, obviously your vitality is going to be impeded and impacted, and you're not going to be able to actualize the vision that you want if you're not going to predicate it on the vision of greatness. And it's just going to be a meager vision. Like, we see this today, and that, I don't know, there are maybe, I think, 1 million Israelis that are living outside of Israel, because when you predicate secular Zionism on the idea that we will have a place where Israelis will be able to live and they'll have their own country and we will be free of foreign oppression. Well, if you can reach these same things in California and it's going to be even cheaper per capita, you say, well, why not do this in California? And why in the world should I stay in Israel if these are my ideals? And you're not going to be able to sustain the vision if you're going to predicate it only on the menial tasks of simple, regular living. It's just not going to pull its weight to bring the aspirations into fruition. And this is one of the problems of Israel, that we have 1 million citizens that live elsewhere. Erkam, Erkam Mishtapel, Vahadaram Holechu Muam. Their value is lowered. And that once you pollute the values, and instead of Torah Zionism, you use secular Zionism. So as a result of that, their value is demeaned. Vahadaram Holechu Muam. And their beautiful glory becomes dimmed. Ad she'em mitgalim betzura ktsufa ha'moreret kpida v'shimamon. Until they're going to have angry reactions, which are going to give birth to all kinds of impatient desolations. Tachat she'ha'oz v'adar hu levusham ha'tivi lahem. Instead of having simply valor and glory, which is the natural clothing for Zionism. He's going to say that you're going to be nervous. You're not going to be able to establish whatever it is that you want, and you're just going to have to go back and forth. Unfortunately, it's one of the things that we see today in the political wheelings and dealings of Israel with the United States. We don't even have the mention, well, this is our country, and we really don't want enemies killing us in our own country. And we always discuss, well, what's the best way of doing it? And why don't we do it here? And why don't we do this? And there are 1 million Arabs, so why don't we just give them the land and just cut it off? And we'll do this, we'll do that. And all of these concepts are very far from the aspirations of the Jewish people. And if we were closer to the great aspirations of the Jewish people, and we say that we want to actualize the ideology of the Jewish people in this world, and it includes the Jewish people living in Eretz Israel, the entire Jewish people living in the entire Eretz Israel, and whoever wants to live in peace is welcome, and whoever wants to maraud is welcome to die. And just to say what it is that we believe and where we're going and what we want, the nations of the world will also recognize us and live to allow us to reach our aspiration. Whereas if we say that, well, you know, we need some place to live, there's no more room in Auschwitz and the Germans don't want us back, so what are we going to do now? And we need some place to go, and we're just acting like a bunch of refugees. So there's not really a big difference between the refugees in Gaza and the refugees in Israel, and we're refugees, they're refugees. So let's just work it out somewhere. And it's not like we are the Lion of Judah who has returned home to establish the great vision of the Mashiach in the end of days. Ukshamaasim nivgamim lumatze olech harayon mitrachem. That as the deeds are polluted, so similarly the ideology becomes alien and it's pushed off. Adshehu nepach lamin machshava klusha hamoreret gam hi buz mikol ish maaseh mitzad merchaka min hachayim umitzad rifyan kocha lifol aleihem. As a result, because people have left the ideology of the Torah, the ideology itself seems just ridiculous. And even today, if you tell secular Zionists that we believe in the formulation of the Kingdom of Israel, we want a monarchy, we want King David and his descendants to return to rule over Israel with a political system that is a monarchy. We want a Sanhedrin, and we want the rule of the Torah to be the law of Israel. We want the economy to be predicated on a social capitalistic system that's described in the Torah. And we want to reconstruct the Beit HaMikdash on the Temple Mount, and we want to once again have priests who will be involved in their priestly duties. And we believe that this will bring a heightened relationship between God and the world, and all of mankind will benefit from it, including even a cure for cancer. And when we say this, it just sounds so outlandish and so like, what? That it's not even, it doesn't even become part of the national dialogue, and you become relegated to some corner of inconsequential nothingness. And this is what Rabbi Cook is saying, that when the idea becomes so far away, it becomes just so weak, and it becomes something which is laughed at. Rabbi Cook says that in order to find a remedy for this atrocious situation, leumat machalak hazot, a remedy for this disease, ha'ochelet et shtei ha'ktzavot asher l'chayim, u'memela nechar tocham, and it affects both sides of the political system. It affects the Torah scholars, because they're not able to actualize into a real life formulation the aspirations that they have. And they run around day and night. They want to build the Beit HaMikdash, build the Beit HaMikdash. And there's nobody to talk to. You can't even say it out loud. You'll be institutionalized. They'll say, well, let's institutionalize him. He wants to build the Beit HaMikdash. He's not a sane individual. And the other people have just gone so far away from our original vision and the aspiration, and as it's depicted in the Chumash and in the Shas, that they just have a despicable attitude. As Rabbi Cook says, that there is an alienation that fills the gap between these two camps. So Rabbi Cook is saying, well, what do we do? Anu tzrichim litametz v'kol ha'yecholet b'shmirat ha'maasim l'chabavam u'la'amtzam, aval lo la'amod al tchum ze bilvado. First of all, we do have to make all of the mitzvahs lovable. And we have to figure out a way that the mitzvahs will be lovable. And if people don't like wearing tefillin and they don't like wearing tzitzis, we have to find a way where tefillin and tzitzis will be something that everybody wants. Again, Rabbi Cook is writing this 100 years ago, and today, Baruch Hashem, Israel has come a long way, and especially now in a time of war, there's a heightened demand for both tzitzis and tefillin, and we don't really have to do anything, and it's just something which is wanted, and people feel that they need to be closer to God, and they believe that if they wear tzitzit, they will be saved. There's a problem that the Bedouin soldiers also want to wear tzitzit, and it's a question whether or not we're allowed to make the tzitzit and give them to the Bedouin soldiers also who believe that they will be saved by God if they wear these tzitzit. I think they will be saved by God if they wear the tzitzit. They want, might not have the same value as a Jew who wears them and is commanded to wear them, but any Jew, any non-Jew who does one of the 613 precepts is considered a pious man from the nations of the world, and it's a value. Anyway, let's go back. כדי למצוא תשופה לעומת מצב היום זה, לעומת מחלה כזאת, האוכלת את שתי הקצוות אשר לחיים וממילא נכר תוכם, אנו צריכים להתאמץ בכל היכולת בשמירת המעשים לחובבם ולאמצם, אבל לא לעמוד על תחום זה בלבדו. מאומה לא נישא בעמלנו אם לא נצרף אל רוממות המעשים את ההשבה אל תעופת הרעיון העצור וגנוז בהם. He says that it's not going to work to just paint the mitzvahs with chocolate. And say, well, you know, I've got chocolate tefillin, and that if you wear tefillin, you can eat the straps afterwards and lick the syrup off of the tefillin. That's not enough. You can't only make the mitzvahs attractive, but you have to come to the source of everything. And that in Yisharua Ma'asim Mitzvat Anashim Elumada, if all of the activities are just going to remain, things that people do because they do that, and they're going to be in the realm of folklore. Lo levad shelo yo'ilu, elagam yashpilu od et harayon. This will make our entire concept and vision and aspiration even less of an attractive vision. Besof shiflut harayon ligamer bebitul ha'asim, and in the end, because the vision is not clear, so the activities will also be lost, and you're not going to be able to find a reason why people should wear tefillin based only on tefillin. You're going to have to base it as part and parcel of the entire idea of the Jewish people that we want a nation of priests that is going to bring divinity into the international jargon. אבל לא נבהל כלל מהמפחידים אותנו מתעופות המחשבה. We're not going to be afraid of lofty thought. Ha'omrim she'anu mit'amrim la'alot merome shechakim be'ein sulam. People that tell us that you're a dreamer and you just want these lofty things, you don't have a ladder. Lo chein, that's not the case. Yesh lanu sulam. We have a ladder. Sulam mutzav arza ve'rosho magi ha'shamayim. We've got a ladder that starts very solidly on the ground, it's planted on the ground, and it reaches at the top the heavens. Hama'arsha benishmatenu benishmata klal benishmata prat asher yitorer yafel yedei organze Torah. And here Rabbi Cook is explaining what is the shamayim that's at the top of the ladder. This is the light which is within our neshama, the neshama of the entire Jewish people, and the neshama of every individual who is part of the Jewish people. That all of this will awaken as a result of the light of the hidden Torah, which is the study of Kabbalah, and also the inner hidden aspirations of the Jewish people. So a person actually embodies this entire ladder, because a person on one hand has a soul which is woohoo, way, way above. It comes from way above. And at the same time, the soul also is very nitty gritty, and it's part of a body. Every soul has a body. And with a body, we have physical, we take up physical space and weight and time. And we exist in the real form, in a real form. And with this body, as the soul reaches the body, we actually have form. The same is true with the soul and body of the Jewish people. We have a soul and we have a body. And because we have a soul and a body, we're able to unify them. And as a result, we're able to actualize the visions of the prophets. Again, today we're 100 years down the road, and we can see that what Rav Kook is talking about here is no longer just a ridiculous aspirations of a dreamer, but we're actually one notch closer to this vision, because the nation has come. Well, we've got a country, we've got a state, we've got all of these aspects of statehood. They are not all predicated on the Torah, but the connection is there, and it's possible at this point to aspire that the army of Israel will be the army of the Mashiach. The political system of Israel will be the monarchy of the Mashiach. The judicial system that Israel has will be the judicial system described in the Torah. And again, we're not there. And there is still this, these words are still relevant. But at the same time, we are 100 years closer to where we were in the time of Rav Kook. And the dialogue is not so ridiculous anymore. And I'd like to end with something like really have not having to do with anything. I had the pleasure of going to Hogwarts in Disneyland, and I was at an entire city, and there's an entire city that they built just out of the imagination of J.K. Rowling. And she just had a vision and she said, you know, I'm going to write Harry Potter. And they were able to recreate an entire city. I think I sent a postcard from the post office, and you can buy a wand and you can buy candies that are described there in the candy store, and they have store after store, and it's an entire city. You can buy the kind of butter beer that's described in the bar there, and you can just get whatever you want. Everything is described. They built a whole city just based on the vision of J.K. Rowling. And when I went and I saw it, I said, wow, that's amazing. And what's easier to do, to recreate an entire city based on the imagination of one lady who just thought this thing out and wrote a book, and it never existed, and it has no deep meaning, and it's just possible to do that, and that's it. People got together and they put it together and they did it. What's easier, to build a Hogwarts or to build a Beit HaMikdash that was a real place? It existed. We've got architecture. We know exactly what it is that we're doing, and we have such a greater aspiration to do that. It would seem so much easier to be able to build the Beit HaMikdash than to recreate the city of Harry Potter. And I was very enthusiastic after I saw that, and I said, wow, that's like really empowering. And that if mankind is able to do this just based on one imagination of one lady in England, imagine how easy it's going to be to recreate the Beit HaMikdash and to recreate Jerusalem and to make the city of God as the Jewish people envision it, because the vision is so much greater and so much more important, and there's so many more people that share this vision, and this is the vision of all visions. So how much easier it will be to actualize it. At the same time, we do see that we're not there yet, but again, every day we're getting a little closer to the coming of the Mashiach and the actualization of these aspirations in the nitty-gritty of the real world. If there are any questions, I'll be happy to answer if I know the answer. And if not, we'll stop at this point. Stay safe. Be well.